reading from the 19th chapter of 1 Kings, one verse of Scripture, just a portion of it. And after the fire, a still small voice. 1 Kings 19:12. After the fire, a still small voice. I love this. After the fire, what? Revelation. No matter what you go through, Peter writes it in his particular epistle. And I want every one of you that are listening to the broadcast and you who are in my audience tonight, every one of you know what I'm talking about when I say going through the fire. Think it not strange, Peter writes, concerning the fiery trial that you are going through. Think it not strange. We have to go through the fire. This is the trial of our faith. If you and I have faith, how do you know you have it unless it is tested? Some of you have been saying you got all the faith in the world, and when a little fire comes, you say, pray for me that I might be able to go through this thing. Pray for me that I might be the daughter God's looking for. Bow your neck and make up your mind you're going through this thing. You're not alone, but you have a God that said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he said, I'll go with you through the end of the age. Hallelujah! I want you to get your eyes beyond the fire. After the fire, there's something else waiting for you. Hallelujah! You know what I call it, number one? I call it verification. 19 and 12. I read it to you earlier. After the fire, a still small voice. This is the most reassuring thing in the life of a believer, that no matter what you are called to go through, that you'll be able to hear his voice. Can you shout amen, somebody? Because when you're going through the fire and when you're going through the tests, some of your greatest tests and trials come from people right in the church. They can't even understand what you're going through. They'll talk about you and they'll say you must be committing sin because you're going through all of this trouble. But my Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. God is going to bring you through the thing, and when you come through the fire, you're going to hear his voice. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Oh, hallelujah! 1 Peter 1:17, if you have your Bible, turn with me to it. But he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. I'm so glad Peter put that in the epistle that he wrote. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, when Jesus took him up into the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses was there, and Elijah was there, and these three Jews, Peter, James, and John, were overwhelmed with the presence of Moses, the one they taught about. And the one that they preached about, Elijah, and they forgot all about Jesus. Nothing can take the place of Jesus. He's the one that we have to lift up. Don't lift up your church. Do not lift up your minister. Do not lift up the organization. But Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Can you shout praise the Lord with me, somebody? And on that Mount of Transfiguration, that voice that was heard, Jesus didn't go around saying, God spoke to me. But Peter said, we heard it. Wow. When God talks, you're going to know it. Somebody comes to me and says, Brother Shambach, I believe the Lord spoke to me. Well, then what are you asking me for, whether it's real or not, if you believe the Lord spoke to you? You don't have to come and get it confirmed by me. If God speaks to you, you'll tremble in your shoes and you're going to know, you're going to sure enough know who it is. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Everybody is looking for verification. And can you imagine how Peter, James, and John felt leaving their jobs, their places of employment, to follow after a man that said he was going to make a kingdom for himself? Many times they wonder, hey man, whether he's going to be doing this or not. And then all of a sudden they get the verification of it. A voice right out of heaven, after the fire comes the revelation. And all of a sudden, while they're so overwhelmed and taken up with Moses and Elijah, God opens heaven and thunders forth where they hear his voice and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. And Moses and Elijah, bam, vanished away. Jesus is the one. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, beloved, when you come through the fire, it's a wonderful thing to have the verification of the voice of God, to know that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you even to the end of the age. Can you shout amen, somebody? He says, when you go through the water will not overflow you. And when you go through the fire, you shall not be burned, because I am by your side. After the fire, you'll hear the comfort of his voice. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord? Turn with me in your Bible, if you will, to Isaiah. Isaiah 24:15. You don't mind me reading scripture, do you? Listen, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea. Turn on over, if you will, please, to Isaiah 33. Just bear with me here. 33:14. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? You want to know who it is? Read it on. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. I could spend a week on this. People that are going through the fire are God's holy people. The one that claims they're going to live godly. They're not serving God just on Sunday. They're the people of God that have come out from the world and they're living separated. They're not touching the unclean thing, but they've made up their mind they're going to live a sanctified life. You are the ones that are going through the fire. You are the ones. And this is what God is trying to tell every one of us in this auditorium tonight. And you that are listening by means of radio, no matter what you're called to go through, God is bringing you through the process so that when you come through the fire, you will have a revelation of his truth. And you'll be able to detect his voice. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Hallelujah! If you're going through some fire today, it's an evident sign that God's been bragging on you. Hallelujah. It's not enough for you to say you have faith in God, but God's telling the devil, I got faith in him. That no matter what you do to him, they're still going to serve me. The devil can knock you down. He can strip you of your money. He can put you at death's door. Your friends can forsake you. But he'll say, I'll stick closer to you than a brother will. You know that you're going to come through this thing victoriously, because God's voice is waiting to sound forth to let you know that he's still by your side. Oh, hallelujah. God's getting ready to use you because you've gone through the fire. Raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me, somebody, will you please? Let me read it to you again. The 19th chapter of 1 Kings. Just a portion of it. Verse 12. After the fire. What is it? Not just verification. The second thing that I wrote down was vindication. Turn back to me, to the 18th chapter. I've been dwelling on both of these chapters, but in the 18th chapter of 1 Kings, we find these words in the 38th verse. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Vindication. When you come through the fire, God will vindicate you. Can you shout amen? And I believe that we are living in this particular age right now when you are going to have to stand up for the God that you serve and not be ashamed of it. Can you shout amen? Some of you people are serving God underground. But I believe it's time to come out in the open now, because God will vindicate you. Jezebel married Ahab, who was king over Israel. Jezebel, who worshiped Baal. And she brought that damnable religion right into Israel, and people were backsliding and embracing Baal. And finally, the man of God got enough of it. He said, if Baal's going to be God, then let's all of us serve him. But if God's going to be God, then let's everybody serve him. Now, we're going to have a contest. Get all them 400 prophets of Baal out here, and I'm going to represent my God, and we're going to have something going here. And we're going to find out just who is God. That's putting it on the spot, isn't it? And I believe it's about time that we sort of get on the spot with what we believe and let the world know that God is not dead, but He is alive, and God will vindicate our faith. Can you shout amen, somebody? When I was on the Phil Donahue show, Phil Donahue said, do you mind if I bring somebody in here on a wheelchair? I said, bring them. I'll lay hands on them and God will heal them. We don't do this in no closet. He said, what if they don't get up? I said, what if they get up? Then what are you going to do? You going to get on national television and say Jesus is a healer? He said, oh, I can't say that. Well, I sure enough say it, because I believe God will vindicate us. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hallelujah. I was an invited guest on the Phil Donahue show. He came to me with that microphone and stuck it right in my face. And he said, now come on, Reverend Shambach. Do you mean to tell me that Phil Donahue can heal the sick? And I looked at him in front of I don't know how many millions of Americans. And I said, yes, Phil Donahue can heal the sick if he gets saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. He too can heal. He took that microphone and he said, let's break for a commercial. Hallelujah! I believe in this thing. You don't have to do it behind closed doors. You don't have to do it in the basement, but bring it right up into the main sanctuary. Can you shout amen, somebody? Hear me, preacher. You don't have to lay hands on sick people behind a curtain somewhere. Bring them out into the open. You're not the healer. Jesus is the healer. He called you to pray the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. After the fire, what? Vindication. This is what you've been through the fire for. Somebody asked me and said, Brother Shambach, what would you do if you prayed for somebody and they died? I'd say, bring on the next one. What if they died? I said, bring on the next one. Bring on the next one. Let them all die. Bring on the next one. God just told me to lay hands on the sick and they recover. If I do my part, then God's got to do His part. God is a healer and He will vindicate the person that stands on His word. Shout yes! Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah! If you've never been through the fire, get ready, honey. It's coming. Peter was thrown in prison. Now, some of y'all wouldn't make that. Some of you can't even stand church, let alone prison. What would you do if God throwed you in jail? Peter was thrown in jail for preaching Christ. And they already gave him a trial, and Herod said, your neck's going to separate your head from your shoulder. In the morning, you're going to die. Already passed judgment on him. That would have been you or me. We'd have been pacing that cell all night. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Oh, Lord. Yeah, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, hallelujah. You know what Peter did? Laid down, went to sleep. I like this. Threw him in jail, had the death penalty on him. He's going to die in the morning, and he goes to sleep. And at midnight, God sends a special delivery angel. And the angel, you know what he had to do? Had to smack him on the, smote him on the side. Bam! Ah! Peter, he was in a deep sleep. And the angel said, stand up on your feet. Peter didn't have a liquor sense. He got up. And when he got up, the chains fell off of him. Nobody had to unlock them. They just fell off of him. You that are laying down, stand up on your feet. I'm talking to you that are listening by means of radio. Get out of that bed. God ain't never healed anybody laying down. He said, rise and take up your bed and walk. Stand up on your feet and be healed by the power of the living Christ. Let me hear you holler, amen. Peter stood up. He thought he was having a dream. The angel says, put your girdle around you. Hello. Follow me. And he walked out through the jail cell. The four quaternions of soldiers that were keeping guard were snoring. Fell asleep on guard duty. They gonna get shot in the morning. And when they get out to the main gate opens of its own accord. And Peter's still following the angel. Half asleep. And a blast of cold air hits him right in the face. And he wakes up and he said, hey, man. This ain't no dream. Get out of here. The Lord done sent an angel and delivered me from prison. Woo! Isn't this beautiful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be in jail and have God send you a miraculous deliverance? Isn't it wonderful to be sick and God heals your body when the doctor says you're going to die and here you are alive? Why? Because God is verifying the fact that after the fire comes vindication and you've learned how to stand on His word and the miracle has been wrought in your life. Oh, hallelujah. And he goes over to the house where the women were praying. And he knocks on the door. And they're in there praying. Oh, Lord, set Brother Peter free. Oh, Lord, set Brother Peter free. One of the damsels comes to the door and she looks through the peephole. Bah! And she ran back in, didn't even bother opening the door. And she said, hey, girls, stop praying. Peter's at the door. And they said, please don't disturb our prayer service. Oh, Lord, set Brother Peter free. My Lord. And she said, I'm telling you, you don't have to pray anymore. Peter is at the door. And they said, huh? It must be his ghost. They had him dead already. You better not learn how to rely on somebody else's prayer. You better learn how to stand on the word of God for yourself and find the vindication of his eternal word. While you're believing God for deliverance, somebody's praying for your death. Raise both hands and say, Lord, I believe. Shout it out loud. Lord, I believe. 1 Kings 19:12. After the fire, a still small voice, a revelation. Verification. Vindication. And now, approbation or approval. This is a sign that you have been approved by God because you've been through the fire. Did you ever hear some Christian say, "She ain't worth a dime"? That Christian, I wouldn't give you 2 cents for him. Why? Why is there a value put on different Christians? But then there's some that say, "Man, she is a powerhouse. There is a woman of God." Why? You know why some children of God aren't worth much? Because they haven't been through much fire. The more fire you go through, the more valuable you are. So don't ask God to pull you out of the fire. Ask Him for a little grace to hang in there. He knows just how much you can bear. And with that test, He'll make a way of escape. Remember this, beloved, I don't care what you're going through, the devil can't kill you before God gets through with you. Hang in there when you know you are called of God. He'll make a way for you. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? Hallelujah! Jesus, before He began His public ministry, now hear this, before He opened one blind eye, before He unstopped a deaf ear or caused the lame to walk or the cripple to leap for joy, He went down into the waters of baptism. John baptized Him in water. John didn't want to. He was very reluctant. And he said, "Lord, I have need to be baptized of You." He said, "Suffer it to be so, John." And when He went down under the water, and when He come up out, the Holy Ghost came on Him in the form of a dove. And the heavens opened. Here's that voice again. The heavens opened and said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Hear me, beloved. When you go through the fire, thank God for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost, and it sat on His head in the form of a dove. But now He's getting ready for ministry. But before He can get ready for ministry, He got to go through the fire. Are you listening to me? He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. I said fasted. That means no food. I had a man in Chicago say to me, "Brother Shambach, I've been fasting for 3 years." And I said, "What? 3 years?" And I said, "You still weigh 240 pounds? Well, he says, "What I mean is I fast one meal a day." I said, "Don't you ever dare say you've been fasting. You just eat 2 meals a day instead of 3. That ain't no fast. Fast means you ain't eating. You're turning your plate over. That's what fast means. Not only that, you're dealing the bread to the hungry." Jesus fasted for 40 days. I'm so glad He said 40 days and 40 nights. Another man came to me and said, "I fasted for 40 days, but he said, I eat at night." Other folks come and say, "I fast for 40 nights, but I eat in the daytime." I'm so glad the Bible said Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. That means He ain't done ate nothing. Shout yes!
Yes!
Hear it now. Then He was led of the Spirit. Led of the Spirit. Led of the Spirit. Don't ever forget it. Into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Not a demon. The devil, old Slewfoot himself. And he come out at him. and said, "If you are the Son of God." You see, the devil don't like this because God bragged on him and said, "This is my beloved Son." Made the devil mad. Devil don't care if you're a Christian, just as long as you don't become a son of God. Because the Son of God will do the works of his daddy. Jesus said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man will be able to work." He said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread." He tested him in the physical. Hear me, beloved. Before God can use you, you've got to go through the fire in the physical. You will be tested in your physical body. You. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about, because some of you are going through it right now. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Jesus pulled out his sword and said, "Satan, bam, bam, bam. It is written, ha, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Whew, I like that. I used to preach that Jesus could summon thousands of angels at his side. I don't preach that no more, because I don't believe he could have. Jesus faced the devil as a man. Faced the devil like you and I face him. And he used the only weapon that's at your disposal and my disposal. That is the Word of God. It's a sword of the Lord. Can you shout amen? And you can cut the devil down and put him where he belongs. The devil got no business on your back. He got no business in your kidney. He got no business on your knee. He got no business in your feet. There's only one place the devil has any business being, and that's under your feet. You shall tread upon scorpions and upon serpents. He put him in the place of a defeated foe. Your elder brother whipped him 2,000 years ago. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Can you raise your hands and shout praise the Lord with me, somebody? Hallelujah! Approval! He has to be approved. That's why he come through the fire. Second time, the devil took him up into a pinnacle on the temple and said, "Cast yourself down." And then he pulled out his sword. "For it is written that he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone, and in their arms they'll bear thee up." That devil knows that Bible better than you do. But he don't quote it right. When I first was studying this thing, I got excited with this thing. I said, how can the devil, who is a liar, tell truth? And I looked it up where he quoted this from the Old Testament. You know what that rascal did? He left something out of it. The devil always leaves something out or adds something to it. Hallelujah. Jesus retaliated and said, "Satan, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Then the devil took him up into a mountain, a high mountain, and said, "Bow down and worship me." First of all, he was tempted in the flesh. Then he was tempted in the psychological. And then now he's going to be tempted in the spiritual realm. And every one of you have to go through the fire, beloved. He said, "Bow down and worship me." And there's a lot of people that are worshiping the devil today. And he said, "I'll give you everything the eye can see." Can you believe this? The devil's going to give Jesus everything he made. Jesus made it all. He's the creator. And the devil's going to give it to him. And that's the same thing the devil says to you. "If you serve me, I'll give you this." And God says, "He giveth all things freely to them that follow him." All things that pertain unto life and godliness. It already belongs to you as a child of God. And what did Jesus say? He said, "Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." And here's the part that I like. Some of you Pentecostal people see a devil behind every chair. When you come into my tent, you see a devil behind every tent pole. I'm getting tired of devils. I'm looking for some angels. The Bible says, then the devil leaveth him, and angels came and ministered unto him. It's time to get angels by our side. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. These are the names of my angels, goodness and mercy. And every once in a while I say, come on, goodness, check up here. Come on, mercy, catch up with me. They'll follow you all the days. It's time for angels to come. Can you shout praise the Lord, somebody? After the fire, approval. God is getting ready to use you.